Welcome back, Connor Happer, Josh Hudson on a Friday. Connor Happer Show, 1620 The Zone, and on 1620thezone.com. We welcome in the third wheel to this bicycle. Brian Christopherson, I could have made that more awkward, but I, you know, we just left it there. BC, 24/7 Sports. Brian, how we doing?
I'm the third wheel, huh? Well, I'm doing all right.
Just for this, you know, for these 20 minutes, you're invited anytime you want, but in this specific case, yeah, I think that's a fair description.
All right.
BC, you wrote, I mean, there's a lot to come out of what Matt Rhule had to say on Wednesday. You wrote about the transfer portal a little bit and how, I'll just ask you this. What do you think Matt Rhule's, understanding or feel on the transfer portal is? Obviously right now they went sort of heavy and their roster is full of them at the moment. You also have the COVID year guys sort of involved, and he talked a little bit about roster management, but going forward, I wonder about this as well. How do you think Matt Rhule views the transfer portal?
Well, I think he sees the use in it. He said as much. He said it's been good to us. But he has also said a couple times, you know, going forward, you get the idea they might not live in it quite as large as they did this cycle, you know, where they had 11 guys. I don't know what that means, if that means you're going more like 6 to 8 guys or what type of number you associate with that. But he doesn't want to, I think, in the long haul, basically just recruit over guys you're developing who have been in the program 2 or 3 years and, oh, here's this guy to pop in front of you. But if there is a good fit and it's somebody who, you know, you feel is a top talent who can fill an immediate need and fits your culture, and you do your research on the guy, which in the case of the 3 Georgia players, he had a good source. Fran Brown was the guy he got into coaching and recruited as a player, and he's the defensive backs coach at Georgia. And so he could give Matt Rhule insight on all those guys, sort of their situations, and in turn he could give Fran Brown could give information to the players about Nebraska. So that was I just feel like some things work kind of just right for him in this cycle to pick up some of those guys. And obviously when you're in your first year, there are some gaps probably you got to fill more than you hope you will have to in future years.
I think so too. And then I get to wondering, you know, about the recruiting operation in general, and not just the portal, although that's, you know, under that same umbrella. And, you know, this I think class has to make you wonder a little bit, not only about what a normal Nebraska class is going to be made up of going forward in terms of the types of players that and the amount of players that you get, but also, I mean, what kind of recruiting operation is this going to be? And, you know, they got their – you may have heard this, but they had their sights set on a pretty big fish for the class of 2024. I guess, what do you think the ceiling is for them in recruiting? Maybe not – it doesn't have to be class ranking or anything like that, but it feels like to me, and Rhule said it, we should be able to recruit well. And I sort of believe him when he says that.
Yeah, so do I. I always go back to the comment that was passed on when they first got here, where some of the assistant coaches, and, you know, they weren't knocking where they'd been, but they were just saying, like, when they're at Temple, man, if we ever got to a place where it sort of got that blue blood reputation in the hallways with some coaches and stuff like that, think of what we could do. And so I do think there is some advantage to, there's some guys who had to recruit at places where you maybe have to scrap a little bit more, even, you know, and you really have to evaluate at a top level to succeed at Temple. And you can take that with you now to Lincoln, and maybe it's an easier sell, and maybe it puts you in position to sell it to the type of prospects you weren't able to at that, you know, their first stop. And so I like, frankly, that he said, yeah, you should be able to recruit well here. And he didn't make a bunch of excuses, because I've heard that before from coaches.
Yep.
Here. I mean, we've sat in press conferences where it's been talked about, it's tough to get them here, and, you know, airports and this and that and all that And there was none of that. He said, yeah, it's going to be a certain makeup of an athlete maybe that wants to come to Nebraska, and I think they're just fine with that. But it wasn't excuse making. It was more expectation setting. And I see that as a pretty good thing and kind of a breath of fresh air a little bit. Although I will say, like, I don't know if the Riley era really did that. I thought there have been guys who I don't think made a lot of excuses, but I like that in this staff, it doesn't seem to be a thing.
Here's something that I was thinking about earlier, and it's right on that topic. So, I mean, we heard from Rule as he was sort of telling the story of how he came to sort of take the job at Nebraska. And you know what you hear from him? You hear from him the same lines that you hear from recruits. You know this from talking to them after their visits, which was, you know, I was blown away. I was amazed. I didn't know what to expect when I came here, but I came here and it surprised me just about in every single way. So he lived that same experience while, you know, being courted for this job by Trev Alberts that recruits will do when he's bringing them into campus. I do think that, you know, and I think we use that against coaches that we have done that in the past here. Their unfamiliarity sort of with the place and all of that stuff. But I do think that allows him to sort of connect with recruits and say, hey, look, just come out here and we'll see how you like it, because that exact same thing happened to me.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And then when you get them here, you can walk them through a facility that's going to be open in the summer. And, I mean, that's where those guys are going to live largely, you know, that's where you're going to spend 16 hours of your day, at certain points of the year. And so when they see that and then they realize, okay, this is a city, it's got all the places to eat and all that stuff. Yeah, that always works out. And you're right. There is something to be said for the coach saying, I was where you were. I didn't know what to think. I got here and impressed the heck out of me. I took my family here, you know, and all my coaches took their families here. And let's see what you think. So, yeah, I think you're onto something with that.
How much are you reading into team bonding and everybody staying in the cafeteria while eating and putting down their phones? It's a classic off-season thing. I love it.
Yeah.
But I guess, what do you take from that conversation?
Well, I mean, I wrote a syrupy column about it, so I'll defend it a little bit. I mean, I'm a sucker for that stuff a little bit. I think culture is one of those things people kind of, it's easy to scoff at because it's usually in the off season sort of connected to fluff pieces a little bit, right? I mean, it feels like that.
Yeah.
It's sort of connected to, like, yeah, that's a buzzword. Everybody says they have it, but what is it really? And you don't know for sure. But it is also the biggest thing. Like, if for the programs that actually have that culture built in and it's an actual working thing and it is a family and there's, you know, the stuff that Rule is talking about working for is actually in place, it's pretty good then. I mean, it means everything. And that's, he had a great line. It was a snappy line about how, what's that mean to winning? Nothing, but everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, I mean, that's it right there in a nutshell. It's like, it could mean nothing if you don't quite use it to the right way or you don't perfect it. But if you get some small things in place and stack them on top of each other, that does end up mattering to some degree. And I think that the biggest thing is trying to build a team where you're present with your teammates, you know, like, and I think that's a big thing, like in any operation nowadays where we're so addicted to our phones, me being a main culprit of that, is if you can actually build a kind of chemistry with people where you're looking each other in the face and you care about them and all that stuff and have conversations and real talk, I do think that stuff can carry over. So I don't just wave my hand at it. I thought it was an interesting thing.
I wouldn't either. And I actually think it's a really big deal. Like I said, I don't know that it's, you know, how much of it translates directly to wins. But it goes along with what he's been talking about. And we've come to understand, and he said this, it's a really process oriented deal. It's one thing at a time. He's given a great anecdote a couple times. He did on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast and then at the press conference on Wednesday too. But basically the idea that players would come up to him and you know, talk about going to bowl games and their expectations they have for them and all that stuff, and they're jumping ahead. And Rule just goes, man, you know, go lift. Like, one day at a time. Do one thing at a time. And I do think that's really, really ingrained into his DNA and then therefore the coaching staff's DNA. And it's honestly a breath of fresh air around here. That's another offseason thing too. But I really do think that's a lot of what this program needs.
Well, I also think it's true. You better put your attention right on today and what's exactly in front of you, because I think they're going to put them through heck over there with the workouts. I do. I mean, I think it's going to be pretty intense over the winter leading into the spring. And, you know, Rule said at one point, like, we're going to show them what our standard is. Some guys will take it and some guys will leave it, you know, and that's going to happen. I mean, that's why I don't get the sense he's too worked up about, I know he's not. Otherwise they would have kept recruiting like they did. But then I know the numbers at 103, if you do the addition of everybody on the scholarship chart, but there's going to be guys who disappear. That's just going to be the way it is. And as he said, there's also probably some ways you can work around it in this NIL era, with the 85. So, I think, guys better be in the present, because if they're not, you're probably going to be in trouble. Cause I, you know, every day, if I'm over there right now and you look at these position groups, it's a pretty serious competition across the board. There's not a lot of guys who are really locked in or locked in at all to anything. And so you wouldn't want to be looking beyond what's in front of you this week, because there's new guys who are trying to take what you think is yours, or you're a new guy trying to take what somebody else thinks is theirs. So I think it's going to, that should help them keep their mind on what's directly in front of their eyes.
Yep, no doubt about it. Seems simple, but that's part of what it's getting back to the basics on. BC, thanks for the time as always. Appreciate it, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, thanks, guys.
Ryan Christofferson of Husker 24/7. One day at a time. That when we played that on Wednesday, some of those quotes, I know there was a couple people, you know, I got sent the GIF of the fully Husk thing.
Yeah, you did.
That, it's music to my ears. I don't know. I understand how that sounds, and we sound like people who, yeah, we buy in every time, and people are going to, you know, maybe you're not willing to buy into this one, or just because you've been beat down so much. But I really do think that's the right way to approach things. It's day by day. It's thing by thing. It's getting to know each other on a, you know, real personal level. You know, I saw a couple of people at the women's basketball game last night. They're trying to sell out the Iowa game. The women are, and they're doing well. It's coming along, and somebody bumps into Rule, and. They're like, you know, we're trying to get people to go to the Iowa game. And Rule was like, if you want to make it a mandatory event, I'll make them all go. You know, it's like, we'll be there. We'll be there. The whole football team will be there. And yeah. Now the whole football team will be there on February 18th when they play Iowa.
That's great. That's that community stuff. That
right.
It just means so much to everybody.
It's nothing, but it's everything.
Yeah. It means the world to those other teams when the football team shows up, even if they are forced to.
Mm-hmm. Be there, and just by being forced to, I do this all the time. You ever, like, well, I don't know. I won't speak for anybody else, but I got something on the schedule. I've been dreading it for a long time. I don't want to do anything. I'm having a bad day, but I'm dragged to it. I go to it. And guess what? I have a great time.
Hell yeah.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do this. I used to do a podcast. And I was like, this is this is a waste. Not that podcast.
Oh, okay.
This is a waste of time. This is a horrible waste of time. We don't get anything accomplished. I don't want to do it. It's 3 hours of my life. And guess what? I do the podcast. I have a great time. I end up meeting people, having good conversations, and drinking beer. Sometimes you need a little kick.
Mm-hmm.
They're providing that, I think, a little bit over there right now. All right. Let's take a break, and we'll come back with the poll questions. Tell you what to watch over the weekend next on 1620 The Zone.